Please bow your heads with me and let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing for us, everything that you've done. We yield to the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst. Do that which pleases you tonight. Fill and flood our hearts with illumination through the word of God tonight. Grant us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Help us, Father God, to go several steps higher in this service. Help us, Father God, to come into a greater, a fuller understanding of the power of your word, the spiritual authority and dominion that you've conferred upon us. I thank you for it, Lord. I give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. And I thank you again for joining us tonight. And I welcome you. I want us to press further in our study of the authority, the dominion, the kingship that the Lord has conferred upon us. The last time we were discussing spiritual authority, we read from Philippians chapter 2, and from verse 9 it says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Amen. The Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his work, his complete work, his finished work on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says God the Father conferred upon him a name that is higher and above every other name, conferred upon him the authority of the Godhead. And I know the last time we read from Matthew chapter 28, where the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples when he was commissioning them to go into the world to continue the work of the kingdom of God that he started. And he said unto them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me." And he conferred that same authority upon them. We also read last week in Ephesians chapter 1, where the apostle talked about him praying for the church and asking that the Lord will grant them revelation and understanding, and that they would know certain things that have been made available, which include the authority and dominion that the Lord Jesus Christ died to purchase for the church. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all." Amen. So the same authority that God the Father conferred upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ turned around and conferred upon the church. Jesus is the head of the body, and we are his body. And there is absolutely no difference between what belongs to the head and what belongs to his body. Amen. Everything that the head has access to, the body also has access to. Hallelujah. Every provision, every promise, every provision of authority that God the Father made available to Jesus as the head of the church, we as his body also have access to. And I believe that part of why the Lord is enabling us to go through this study on spiritual authority, obviously, as a part of our lesson on the covenant and the covenant, our covenant with the Lord, our covenant with Jehovah God being our defense, that authority, the revelation that we have of this spiritual authority can enhance and enable us take our place of dominion right before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right there in Ephesians chapter 2, after what we just read in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with the Lord Jesus Christ, because by grace we are saved. And, verse 6, he has raised us up." Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus is seated way, all the way, is exalted, seated far above all principalities and powers. Well, that's where we are too. He says he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, that's here, in this season, in this age, he might make known, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Of course, one of the first graces, actually the very first grace that the Lord gave man in the Garden of Eden, was the grace of dominion, spiritual authority. And we read in Micah chapter 4, verse 8, where that prophet said, our first dominion will be restored. Well, glory be to God. Our first dominion has been restored through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's now up to us as the body of Christ to take our place of dominion. And this is really, really important. This is a very, very crucial revelation that we need to have as believers. I want to read to you here two scriptures, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, and I want to read to you a couple of versions. This is a very well-known scripture, but I want to read to you Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. I want to read first from the Amplified. Well, let me read first from the King James, because that's very well known. He says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Notice he says the kingdom of heaven. That is the manifestation of God's dominion on the earth through his people, through the church. Now, in the Amplified version, the Bible says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault." The kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Glory be to God. It says the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. The kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and violent men and women, believers, the body of Christ, they take by violence and they take by force everything that has been made available to them in the kingdom of heaven. Well, beloved, I'm sure you know this, that there is nothing the Lord has promised us that we know belongs to us, that Satan is going to want to allow us to have without a fight. That's what it means when it says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Means that there is a lot of violent interaction, violent display and exhibition, because there is a constant warfare going on between the believers who are joined heirs with Christ, who are trying to take what belongs to them in Christ, and the enemy. The Bible calls him so many names: the adversary, the liar, the deceiver, the tempter, the hinderer. This enemy who is going to try to stop, and he's going to fight everything that the Lord has ordained for the church, for the believers. He's going to try and do everything he can to stop them from laying hold of it. You probably know already that the things that the Lord has promised us, a lot of times, our inability to get them isn't just because the Lord doesn't want us to have them. Now, I know we often say delay is not denial. That is true. And sometimes there are delays. But a lot of times the delays is actually because of the warfare that is going on, because of this violent exhibition, manifestation that is going on in the spirit. Remember Daniel, when he prayed, he saw the Lord. And in Daniel chapter 10, the Bible tells us that finally an angel came and said to him, from the first day when you prayed, the Lord heard you and he sent me. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia contended with me. Thank God, Daniel did not give up. He didn't quit. He stood there in his fasting and his praying. In addition to his fasting and his praying, he took his place of dominion and authority. And backup forces were released from heaven to assist this angel that was sent with the answer to the prayer that he was praying. You remember the story of Moses and the children of Israel when the Lord said, "Let my people go." Let my people go. And Moses faithfully went to Pharaoh to deliver the message, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh would say, "No, I'm not going to let them go." And this violent thing went on with so many different things, and plagues started to be released upon the nation of Egypt and their people. And eventually, by violence and by force, he let them go. Well, what the Lord has given us to enable us take what is rightfully ours. Deliverance is ours. Healing is ours. Divine health is ours. The salvation of our loved ones, that's ours. Amen? Our financial release, destruction of the yoke of debt, is ours. All of these things have been made available to us in Christ Jesus. Our release from every yoke of oppression. We read that the last time. That was the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He declared in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel." And he listed his assignment. The anointing of God that was upon him enabled him in working in conjunction with the spiritual authority that had been conferred upon him, enabled him to fulfill his assignment. Amen. However, that spiritual authority is what is going to put us in position to take what is rightfully ours when Satan resists and stands as an opposition or obstruction to the release of those blessings. Can somebody say amen to this? Now, this authority, this spiritual authority that we have been given is something Paul said in Ephesians 1. He prayed for the Ephesian church. He said, I pray for you that the eyes of your understanding might become enlightened. You might have knowledge in the revelation of this principle. You might know what rightfully belongs to you in Christ Jesus. And so like the prophet said in Micah, so we are not constantly crying over what the enemy is trying to do and how he's trying to stop what the Lord has ordained. As a matter of fact, I want to just take a minute here and pray. This has been in my spirit for just a little bit. I want to take a minute here and stand in agreement with you based on Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, 19, and 20. And I'm going to read that scripture. I'm going to read it from a couple of versions here. I'm going to read verse 18 from the God's Word translation. Well, you know what? Let's read the King James first. That's usually a very good foundation. So we have a point of reference. Matthew 18, 18, Jesus speaking to the disciples, he says, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Why do we need to bind and why do we need to loose? Because there is a violent interaction. And Satan is going to do everything he can to stop what the Lord has made available to us. Do you know there is a new season for you? Do you know there is great favor that has been piled up for you? There's great grace available for you to do and accomplish the things that God has promised you. Things that have been lined up for your destiny. Things that have been lined up for your assignment. The Lord has made grace available for it. Whatever you do, at whatever level of life you are, God has made grace available. And yet, there's constant opposition. Constant opposition. But I'm going to stand with you tonight. We're going to break it. In Matthew 18, 18, he said here in the God's Word, I really like the God's Word version. He says, I can guarantee this truth. Whatever you imprison, whew, I love it. God will imprison. And whatever you set free, God will set free. I imprison every lie of the devil. I imprison every evil plan and assault of the devil that is aimed at God's people tonight in this season. I take you captive. I imprison you. I imprison thoughts, imaginations. I imprison all sorts of rebellious manifestations of the enemy seeking to thwart, seeking to frustrate the plans of God, the good plans of God for his people. I take those captive and I lock you up in prison. And I set free upon the people of God tonight good favor. I set free upon the people of God tonight great grace. I set free upon the people of God tonight heavenly blessings. I set free upon the people of God tonight love and joy and peace and open doors, the release of every good thing that your heart longs for and desires. I declare that it is so in the name of Jesus. Now, you're going to see the power of our agreement here. In the next verse, in verse 19, also, in the God's Word translation, this God's Word translation, one of the reasons I love it so much is he uses that word guarantee. Just, I guarantee. Remember in the previous verse, and I guarantee you this truth. And in this next verse, in verse 19, exactly the same thing. It says, and I can guarantee again. I can guarantee again that if two of you agree on anything here on earth, my Father in heaven will accept it. Well, I agree with you, brother. I agree with you, sister. I agree with you, wherever you are tonight, concerning the desires of your heart. The Bible says he guarantees whatsoever we agree together about, our Heavenly Father will accept it. I agree with you tonight concerning what your heart yearns for. I agree with you tonight for that breakthrough. I agree with you tonight for that promotion. I agree with you tonight for that release of that thing that has been held in bondage for so long. I agree with you tonight for that heavenly blessing. I agree with you tonight for that sustained fruitfulness. I agree with you tonight for the glory of God to visit with you in every sphere of life where you are. And I declare it is so in the name of Jesus. There's power in our agreement. But you know, even our agreement is a manifestation of the authority that we have. Because the Lord promised in this same scripture, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, he says, whatsoever any two of you will agree together about, my Father will guarantee it, my Father will accept it. And then he said in verse 20, and I like that very much in the Amplified, in verse 20, he said, wherever two or three of you are gathered, drawn together, not necessarily physically, but when you are together in spirit, like we're together in spirit tonight, we are across borders, we are across media platforms, but we are in agreement in the spirit. Wheresoever two or three of you are together because of me, he says, when you are drawn together as my followers into my name, there I will be, I am in the midst of you. I will be, I am. So when he told Moses in Exodus 3:14, tell them I am that I am. That's Jehovah. That's Jehovah. That's Yahweh. And he says Yahweh will walk within us when we come together and stand in agreement. Hallelujah. This is one of the reasons why the enemy fights all the time to tear us apart. It's one of the biggest reasons why he tries to divide us. But praise God, we already got the victory. We already got the victory over that. Amen. We are going to be united in purpose. We're going to be united in our direction. We're going to be united in the revelation and in everything that we seek to achieve that the Lord has commissioned to us. We will not be torn apart. We will not be divided. And because we're united, all our dreams will be fulfilled. All our expectations will come to fruition in the name of Jesus. Do you agree with me on that? Come on, say amen there. Come on, say amen. Say a loud amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So in talking about our authority last week, remember, we talked about the three main accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, his atonement. When he released us from the power of sin and the curse of the law, but he didn't stop there. He also initiated us into covenant partnership, covenant relationship. He was made the mediator of this new and better covenant. And he called us into partnership with him in that covenant. But he didn't stop there. He went as far as conferring upon us dominion, kingship, authority. He made us kings and priests, like we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Well, having done all of that for us, it's so important then that we constantly make ourselves aware and that we are constantly and progressively growing in the understanding of this spiritual authority. The message of the kingdom, the message of the authority that we have because of the kingdom of God that is within us is one of the most frequent things that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about, that he ministered on. Amen. And even Paul, remember Apostle Paul, the foremost disciple, foremost apostle to the Gentiles, one of the things he talked about the most was actually the kingdom of God. One of the things he did the most was he exercised authority in the name of Jesus, in the kingdom of God. You may remember the story in Acts chapter 19 of the seven sons of Sceva, who were trying to cast out this demonic spirit. And guess what? Those spirits said to this vagabond sons of Sceva. The Bible even describes them as vagabond. The foul spirit said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Amen. So think about that. Jesus I know. Jesus was the one who conferred authority upon us. But he also mentioned Paul, because Paul was one of those who understood the authority of the kingdom of God. And he exercised it a lot in his journey and in his ministry. That foul spirit said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? But who are you? And we know the message of the kingdom of God was one of the most central themes to the ministry of Apostle Paul. Let me read this verse of scripture to you here at the very end of the record that we have of his ministry in the book of Acts. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 28 from verse 30, it says, Paul dwelt 2 whole years when he got to Rome in his own hired house, and he received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Let's read that from the Amplifier. I love it. He says, after this, Paul lived there for 2 entire years at his own expense in his own rented lodging, and he welcomed all who came to him, preaching to them the kingdom of God and teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and quite openly without being molested or hindered. He exercised such spiritual authority that even though he was a prisoner in Rome, he operated not just as a free man, he operated at a level of boldness to finally complete and fulfill and finish the assignment that the Lord gave to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all of that was because of his understanding of spiritual authority. So then, let's dig further. This is so important. Let me read this out to you from my notes. It is important that believers come into a full realization of their delegated authority in Christ so that they can take their rightful place beside him. Remember, we have joint sitting with Christ. We have preferred sitting. We're joint heirs with him, but we are also raised up with him. We're seated together with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. And having a revelation and a full realization of our delegated authority in Christ enables us to take our rightful place right there in the heavenly places beside our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want you to look for a minute here at the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 12. And it says, but as many, well, let's read from verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, a lot of times in the New Testament, when the Bible sometimes interchanges the word, English word, power, for the original word that was actually properly or better translated, authority, which is the Greek word exousia. And in this particular scripture, that's exactly what is happening. I'm going to read this scripture to you from the Amplified Bible here. It says, but to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right. So you see there how he describes authority. Authority is power. Authority is privilege. Authority is the right to become the children of God, that is, to those who believe in and rely on His name. Everything that enables us to live successfully as children of God on this earth is directly tied to our understanding and revelation of the delegated authority that we have. Notice in that scripture, he calls it a right. You have a right to be blessed. On this earth, you have a right to eat the good of the land. You have such authority. You have a right to command that the earth produce for you. It is not acceptable that your earth is hardened and barren for you. It is not acceptable that the heavens feel like steel over you. It is not acceptable that you tolerate the seasons of dryness that the enemy tries to surround us with. No, we have a right. What is a right? A right is what qualifies you to demand certain privileges. You have a right as a child of God. You have a right to be happy. Thank you, Lord. You have a right to have peace of mind, peace in your soul. You have a right to have your needs met. Hallelujah. You have a right to be blessed. You have a right to sleep at night. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I rebuke that spirit of sleeplessness. I rebuke that foul spirit that has stolen the ability of God's people to sleep and to rest well at night. I take authority over you. The Bible says he gives his beloved good sleep. In the name of Jesus, I command that foul spirit, you lose your hold. You lose your hold over God's people. You release them right now. And I command you peace. And I command you sleep. And sleep good. And sleep well. And be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You'd be amazed, and I know the medical people tell us, how big this industry is, this sleeplessness. How many millions and millions of people all over the world can't sleep well at night. Tossing and turning, full of the cares of this world. That is not your portion as a child of God. You have a right. You have a right to sleep well. You have a right to have peace. You have a right to have rest. You have a right to be refreshed. You have a right to be blessed. Hallelujah. You have delegated authority. Now, this authority, in addition to the words that we just saw there in the Amplified, also means mastery. You know how there's a master over a servant? Authority is mastery. That is, as children of God, we have mastery over certain things on this earth. The enemy does not have a right to be running all around us, helter-skelter, creating confusion. The enemy has no right to be tormenting us. To be tormenting us with anxiety and nerves, stress. He has no right. We should have mastery over that. This word authority is influence, it's jurisdiction, is a covering. Do you know your authority from the Lord is a covering? Your authority, the word in the Hebrew, is beith. It's like a home. It's like a shelter place. Do you know your authority, your delegated authority is a sheltered place for you? Which is one of the reasons why a requirement for operating in spiritual authority is being under authority. Remember, they asked Jesus at different points in time, and I don't have the time to read those scriptures. They ask him, by whose authority do you do this? And every one of us needs to be able to answer that authority question. By whose authority do you do this? By the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm also under authority. I'm a man under authority. Remember what that centurion told the Lord Jesus Christ? He sent servants, he sent people, emissaries, to go invite Jesus to pray for his servant. And Jesus was coming there. He said, well, you know, don't come, just speak the word. Just speak the word. And if you speak the word, my servant will be made well. And Jesus said, wow, I've not seen so much faith in Israel. Well, this man, this centurion, what he was telling the Lord Jesus Christ, and remember he said to him in that scripture, he says, I'm a man under authority. I say to a servant, go, and he goes. I say to another one, come, and he comes. And he says, I know, Jesus, that is exactly who you are. That is exactly how you walk. Your word carries authority. Your word carries power. And I am a man under authority, and I recognize your authority. So I don't need you to come all the way to my house. So actually, this was the one who didn't send emissaries. This was the one that actually met the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I don't need you to go all the way to my home. You just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus was amazed by the depth of his understanding of spiritual authority. See, when you are under authority, authority produces for you. When you are under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and you have that covering, and when you are under the authority of certain vessels or places or people that he puts you under, then that covering is complete. And then when you speak, your words carry weight. When you declare things, they have to happen. Hallelujah. This spiritual authority is the same authority that the Lord Jesus Christ received from God the Father that he conferred upon the church. He transferred it to the church. That authority is what helps us take our ground. Remember when he says, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. That authority is what enables us to bind, to stand our ground and bind. And that authority enables us to stand our ground and loose. We can bind the works of the enemy. Why don't we do that together tonight? Let's just do that over our nations, over our communities, in the name of Jesus. We take authority over you, Satan. You lose your hold over our nations. You lose your hold over our communities, over the spheres and the areas where the Lord has given us jurisdiction. You lose your hold over our families. In the name of Jesus, we command you, you let loose over the people that are close to us. You let go of the blessings of God over our lives and our families. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. That spiritual authority enables us to walk in liberty and walk in freedom. Hallelujah. That spiritual authority enables us to stand our ground. You know, sometimes the enemy is stirring things, and I don't want to give him too much place and too much credit for anything and too much mention. But we deal with a real enemy, and a lot of times, even when people, flesh and blood, are the ones that we see that sometimes seem to stand in the way of some of the things that the Lord has promised us, a lot of times it's actually this enemy that is walking behind the scenes, that's walking within that flesh and blood. But ultimately, this authority that we exercise over the enemy. We take authority over the strongholds of darkness. We take authority over every evil plan of the enemy. Why don't you practice that tonight? Take authority. Go ahead. Take authority over every working of the enemy, wherever they are, around you, in your home, at your job, in your ministry, in your spheres of influence, the things you are trying to do in your business, your finances. You take authority. There might be a devourer that keeps just sapping before you get your resources. He's stolen them away from you. There might be something that repeatedly keeps happening in your life. A lot of times people talk about going to bed and sleeping. When they sleep, sometimes they find it difficult to sleep. But sometimes they go to sleep, they're able to sleep a couple of hours, and they're having nightmares. Nightmares, there's always something chasing after them. There's always something or some silly experience in their sleep. Something totally weird and out of control. Eating meals and having sexual relations and different other things. And they often wake up and say, I don't know why this keeps happening to me. You take authority over that satanic spirit. You take authority over that demonic spirit. Or certain things in our lives where we know this is a blessing the Lord has given me. But we constantly find out that those blessings are being just taken away from us. We're constantly losing. Constantly losing. It's like we take a step forward and we take 10 backwards. In our relationships, in our lives, in our finances, in our businesses. Where you take authority over that. In our health. Sometimes we're like going through this revolving door into the health systems, into the hospital. There's constantly something that is going on. Constantly some health attack or the other. Well, you take authority over that thing. You take your ground. You take communion. You get in the Word of God. Use some of those scriptures that we read tonight. Say, the Bible says, I have received authority. Whatsoever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. So in the name of Jesus, this repetitive health attacks, I call you by name. The Bible says Jesus has been given a name that is high and above every other name. And I declare that you are subject to the name of Jesus. And I bind you and I take authority over you. Now stop. Now stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are anointed. You are anointed, but you are not just anointed, you are authorized. You are empowered. Do you know we can determine what happens in the nations of the world if we will take our rightful place? Sometimes we lose ground and sometimes we're not able to stand to take our place. We're not able to accomplish the things that the Lord has given to us because we're standing on shaky grounds. You know, on one hand, we're trying to be political. On the other hand, we're trying to, you know, be human pleasers. And then at the end of the day, we remember, oh, you know, I can pray as a last resort. Well, let's pray as a last resort. You know, God may do something. Oh, no. He probably won't. Because for us, we're hallelujah. We're children of God. Prayer is not our last resort. Prayer is what we do first. If we feel a temperature on our children, again, we don't start panicking and call 911. Nothing wrong with calling 911. You should call 911 if you need to. But remember, between when you notice that symptom or whatever it is, and when you go to your phone or whatever it is you need to do, you can get your anointing oil and you can pull out the Word of God and you can speak over that fever and you can speak over that sickness and then call 911 or head to the hospital, whatever you need to do to go complete the process and get medical attention if that's what you need to do. But don't forget, our first thing is we take authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen to this. Somebody say amen to this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let's spend a few more minutes here as we close. And let's talk about a few more important things regarding our spiritual authority. As believers, we have been raised up to sit with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. This must be a revelation to us. We've already said that. We must understand that in the mind of God, we were raised when Christ was raised. All the authority that was given to Christ when he rose from the dead belongs to us through him, and we should exercise it. It is our assignment to carry out Christ's work upon the earth. And one aspect of that work is to stand our ground against the devil and put him on the run with the word of God. We have spiritual jurisdiction over the areas of the earth that God has given to us, such as our own personal lives, our families, our churches, our communities, our nations, our governments. It is our job as believers to enforce the dominion of Christ upon the earth until he returns. Now, Satan will test our understanding of these concepts, and he will fight us every way he can. But remember, he is a defeated foe. He's not about to be defeated. He is already a defeated foe. Look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. He's already a defeated foe. Satan is. Amen. Yeah, there might be a lot of activity. There might be a lot of noise that he makes sometimes. But all of that is just, he's just trying to snow us. He's just trying to, you know, to check us out to see if we know what we're doing. Amen. He's a defeated foe. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, Jesus made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The Amplified says, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us, and he made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. Satan is a defeated foe. He's a toothless bulldog. The only way he can harm you as a child of God is if you are ignorant of the authority that you have been given. You remember in Luke chapter 10, chapter 9 first, and then in chapter 10, when the Lord Jesus Christ sent out the disciples, first in Luke chapter 9, from verse 1, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, every time you see to preach, he sent them out to preach. He sent them out to continue the assignment that he had been given. And that includes everything about our lives that we have been ordained to do. He gave them power and authority. Notice, he never sent his disciples out anywhere without giving them power and authority. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the power. The authority, the right, the influence, the mastery, the privilege is the authority. Authority is delegated power. It's like a policeman exercising his authority and directing traffic. And there's this huge trailer or huge truck coming at him. And he raises up his hands and says, stop. Well, this policeman doesn't have the wherewithal in his physical strength and ability to stop that trailer or stop that truck. But this policeman has authority. He has delegated authority. The power of the state that's behind him, that whatever he says ought to be obeyed. Well, as a child of God, you have delegated authority. Yes, Satan may be this wild creature, this serpent, this dangerous whatever. But when you stand in the name of Jesus, Satan doesn't see you. He doesn't see me. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember several years ago, we were ministering to someone who had been involved in a series of demonic spiritual situations in creating was actually, I think, operating with a witchcraft spirit. And there was a particular, very popular road, popular highway somewhere where they and their team, because they worked in teams with this witchcraft spirit. I hope this doesn't sound weird to you, but these things are real in the spirit. And I remember we interviewed him, and he told us what they did. And on this particular highway, there were so many accidents and so many deaths. And he started describing how they did it. And he started describing how they had so much power, that we wielded so much influence in that sphere. And but he said something. He said, usually when believers who know their place in God, when they come, usually they are not able to touch them. So we asked them, so why is it you are not able to touch them? They say, well, usually, because when they come, we don't see them. We see this covering over them. We see this mantle over them. We see this cloak, this protective covering over them. So we can't penetrate, we can't touch them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our authority is a covering. That's our beith. Amen. So when Jesus sent them out in Luke chapter 9, he gave them power and he gave them authority. And then in chapter 10, he did the same thing. After these things, verse 1, chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them out two by two into his face, before his face into every city and every place where he himself would come. And he told them the harvest is plenty and the laborers are few and all of that. And all the way down there, in verse 9, he said, heal the sick that are in the cities where you go. Say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And in verse 18, he says, he that hears you hears me, and he that despises you despises me. You see, that's delegated power. That's delegated authority. And the 70 returned, in verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Lord, the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall down from heaven. And then he said in verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. That's that word again. Is that word exousia? But the King James is translating it power. I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified. He said to them, behold, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Nothing shall in any way harm you. How do we engage the spiritual authority that we've been given? First thing, we need to have a revelation of it, like we've been teaching tonight. It has to become a revelation to us. Some say, oh, Pastor, how does it become a revelation to us? Well, you've got to dig into the Word of God and learn about this. We've touched a few things in two services, but that's just barely scratching the surface of our dominion, our authority in Christ. We've got to get into the Word and discover what belongs to us in Christ. And then we've got to pray over that, meditate that, receive clear understanding about that. And then, invite the Holy Spirit to help us, to open our eyes, like Paul prayed for them in Ephesians chapter 1. Help us see things that we're not seeing. Help us know things that we're not knowing. And as we do that, our consciousness, our spirit will become more and more open and yielded to the understanding and the revelation of the spiritual authority that we've been given. And then the next thing is we've got to use it. We've got to see ourselves seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we've got to constantly remind ourselves, if Jesus was dealing with the situations I'm dealing with right now, what would he be doing? Would he be crying about this? Would he be frustrated about it? Would he be throwing up his arms in the air and talk about how helpless he is and how hopeless the situation is? No way. No, no. What would Jesus be doing? He'll be taking authority over it. He'll be standing his ground. And if he needed to bind, he will bind. If he needed to lose, he will lose. And he won't change his mind if he doesn't see anything. He'll stand his ground and insist that what he declares comes to pass. Hallelujah. And then we'll be proper representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we take the name. We use his name the way we ought to use that name. We honor it. We hallow it. We bless his name. We glorify his name. We don't do like the seven sons of Sceva. We say, well, I adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. We know that name for ourselves and we honor that name. We live in that name. We have a revelation of that name. And then we exercise our God-given spiritual authority. Remember, child of God, our first dominion has been restored to us. That first dominion that enabled Adam to name the animals, and God said, I agree. That first dominion that enabled Adam to download revelation, not information, revelation from heaven. That first dominion that gave him access, unbridled access to things that eyes, natural eyes couldn't see. That first dominion that enabled him to rule and reign as a king, as royalty in his sphere of influence, that first dominion has been restored to us. So take your place of authority and go out and rule and reign. Remember, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then take on, like Ephesians chapter 6 says, take on the parts of our weapon, the pieces of our protective and our warfare weapons. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the sword of the Spirit. Carry the shield of faith. And pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit at all times. And take your place in the Spirit. And exercise your God-given authority. And you would see wonders. You will see amazing things happening. It will begin from your personal life, into your family, into your job, your relationships, your business, your finances. The Lord will do amazing things in your life because you understand your place of spiritual authority and you are standing there. Amen. I hope you receive something tonight. Our time is gone and we got to stop. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Father. Please, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much tonight. Oh, what a blessing this service has been. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes. Thank you for teaching us. God, we're so blessed. We're so humbled, Lord, that you would come in and dwell amongst us and tabernacle with us and open our eyes to see these deep things in your word, and you would empower us to be seated with you in heavenly places. You will empower us to operate like it was you operating. You would equip us with everything that Jesus had when he walked upon this earth. I thank you, Father. I thank you, God, for the blessings that have been upon this service. I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. God, even as we go tonight, I declare the blessing of heaven upon them. I speak peace over them and their families. I speak peace over everything that they do. I declare that the Lord gives his beloved good sleep. You sleep well. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you are not losing, you are gaining. You are not losing ground, you are gaining ground. You are not losing or leaking blessings. You are gaining, you are gaining, you are gaining. You are increasing on every side. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is magnifying you, making you a person of honor, a person of great grace. The Lord is fulfilling his word in your life. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for your faithfulness and your loving kindness. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. You alone deserve it. Receive it to yourself, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen.